I would like to invite you this morning to turn in your copy of the Scriptures to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. We've been seeing over the course of the last few weeks that James is all about practical religion, about living out your faith in very real, practical ways in the world. Last week, we spent our time in the last part of chapter 2, which I think is really the heart and center of James' letter. And that in that portion of chapter 2, he taught us that faith, if it is real, faith that is alive, is a faith that works. It's a faith that lives itself out in deeds. And one of the ways that he's going to apply that to us this morning is in the use of our words. And so as believers in Christ, we need to watch very carefully our words, the things that we say. And so if you would, follow with me in James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Let's pray this morning. Our Father, we need your help today to understand and to apply your word. Lord, we're thinking about what are the issues in our lives that, as James teaches us, is very hard to control. Lord, many of us have stumbled with our words. We've said things to other people that are hurtful, words that we cannot get back. Lord, I pray that you would grant us forgiveness for those things that we've said. Forgive us, and Lord, may we find forgiveness from the ones that we have hurt. Lord, help us today to not only understand what you are teaching us, but Lord, day by day, give us the strength and the grace to put this into practice. Change our hearts so that out of our hearts may flow words of kindness and goodness and grace to others. Lord, I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. How many of you have ever said something that you wish you could take back? All right, now, how many of you wish you didn't lie so much? Okay, no, just kidding. We've all done it, right? We've all said something that probably right after the moment we said it, we wish we could undo it. Sometimes a little bit later on, we think about what we've said and we realize how damaging it was, what we said. We've all seen relationships damaged by words. We've seen relationships destroyed by words. We've seen marriages fall apart and end in divorce because of words. We've seen friendships broken because of words. We've seen fights and violence because of words. Words are powerful. It's one of the things that James is teaching us. If we don't get anything else from this, remember this: words are powerful. Words are incredibly powerful, and James is going to show us incredibly powerful, either for good or for evil. They have incredible power, one way or the other, to help or to destroy. And so I want us to think about this today. I want us to think about what James is teaching us, to take it to heart. And one of the things that James starts out with in the beginning of the chapter is that because our words are so powerful, teachers need to pay special care to what they say. Some people read the first verse and don't see it as logically connected to the rest of what James is saying, but I think it is. I think this idea of him saying, not many of you should become teachers, I think that is directly related to what he's going to say about the tongue. In other words, because the tongue is so powerful, teachers, those who stand up publicly and teach others, especially the word of God, they bear an incredible responsibility, a heightened responsibility to watch their words. Because they have the capacity to influence other lives, and that influence is greater because of the number of people that they are teaching. It's a teacher is a public role, and in that public role, they're influencing not just a few lives in their home, but they're influencing many lives all at one time with their words. And so James is saying there is a greater responsibility, a greater measure of care that should be observed by those who teach because words are so powerful. If you've read the New Testament, you know that many of the letters that we have in the New Testament, such as Galatians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Colossians, many of these letters that we read in the New Testament, many of them are written into the context in which false teaching is doing damage. And in many of those letters, Paul or one of the other New Testament writers is showing how incredibly dangerous false teaching can be. And so for those that aspire to be teachers, James is kind of putting out a warning, a yellow light, if you will, a caution. Slow down, proceed with care. Not everybody should want to be teachers, because you're going to be held to a greater accountability because of the role that you play in other people's lives. He says that very clearly at the end of the verse 1, because you know that we who teach, and he includes himself there, he's an elder, he's an apostle, he's a writer of scripture. He has incredible influence among the people of God. We're reading his words 2,000 years later. He says, we who teach, we will be judged more strictly. And here's the problem, verse number 2, the very first part. We all stumble in many ways. So we're all guilty of stumbling. We're all guilty of faults and failures. We're all guilty of saying things that we shouldn't. We're all guilty of misleading people or saying something that is not true. We're guilty of not speaking the truth. And so he says, because we all stumble in many ways, if you're going to be a teacher, you need to be all the more careful. And some of you, he says, should be hesitant to accept that role because of the danger of being judged more strictly by what you say and the influence that you have on other people. Now, obviously, we need teachers, right? We need teachers. And so he's not putting a bar in front of it and saying nobody should be teachers. All he's saying is proceed with care. Proceed with caution. Evaluate your motives of why you want to be a teacher. Evaluate your character. And that's why in 1 Timothy 3, when Paul lays out for Timothy the qualifications for leaders and for teachers, more of it has to do with character than it does with talent or professional qualifications. He lays out the character of the kind of individual. This is the kind of heart, the kind of testimony, the kind of care for their family. This is the kind of upright noble person should be in this role because of their leadership, but also because of the influence they're going to have on other people. So being a teacher is more than just about your words, but it's about your whole life. Be careful. And so because words are powerful, teachers need to pay special care. But secondly, James is teaching us in this passage that our words are powerful and they can be used for very good purposes. Our words are powerful and they can be used for good powerfully. And so in the beginning, in the second part of verse number 2, he says, anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. And by perfect here, I don't think he's talking about sinlessly perfect. I think he's talking about someone who is complete, full, mature. I think it's very much the same way that he uses it back in chapter 1 when he talks about trials, difficulties that we go through. He says in James 1 verse 4, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. It's the same word there, translated complete, not lacking anything. And so a person who is able to keep their tongues under control is a person who has reached Christian maturity. Somebody who's able to keep the rest of them in check as well. And that person who's able to keep their tongue in check and bridled is a person that can be used for incredible good in the lives of other people. And so he gives us a couple of examples of how something small can guide something powerful and can be used for good. So he gives us two examples of positive ways that something small can be used for powerful good. He uses a horse. He says, we put a bit into the mouth of a horse, and with that little bit, we can control the whole animal. So we can guide this horse because we have the tongue, if you will, under control. We have this little member under control. And with this little part, we can guide the whole animal. He's saying that now, applying that to a human being. If we can control the tongue, this little bitty part, then the whole body can be used for good, for a noble purpose. Think about all the good purposes that you can use a bridled horse for. You can use a bridled horse for transportation. You can use a bridled horse for work, for plowing. There's all kinds of useful things you can use a bridled horse for. You're able to control it. You're able to use it for good purposes. It's not out of control. He also uses the example of a ship. So here's this huge ship. It's driven by the winds, but yet it's able to be controlled and guided for good purposes to deliver goods to people or to transport people across the sea by a little rudder in the back of the boat. It's able to steer and guide the course of that whole ship. And so I think what James is doing here is he's giving us positive examples, useful examples of what can happen when something big is controlled, under control, by something that is small. So if your tongue, small member, small part of your body, this little piece of flesh inside your mouth, if it's under control, if it's bridled, you can use it and all of you for good purposes. So our words are powerful and they can be used for good. What kind of good things can our words be used for? All kinds of things, right? Our words can be used to give wisdom. Proverbs 15 says, how good is a wise word, giving instruction to those who hear. How good is an apt word in a timely manner, a word at the right time. Perfectly spoken, right moment, right attitude, right tone. It's a word of healing, isn't it? You can give a word of compassion to those who are hurting. You can speak into the life of someone who needs correction, a gentle, loving rebuke. You can speak the truth to someone instead of speaking falsehood. You can speak words of grace and compliment instead of slander and tearing someone down. You can speak encouragement instead of gossip. our words can be used all for all kinds of good things. And to go back to verse 1, our words can be used to teach good and powerful truths from the Word of God. So our words are powerful and they can be used for good purposes. And James is saying, so please do that. Please use your words for good purposes. But we also see in the passage that because our words are powerful, the flip side is also true. And that is, they can be used for damaging purposes, for bad purposes as well. Our words are powerful and can be incredibly destructive. And so at the end of verse number 5, he says, the tongue is a small part of the body, can be used for good, but it also makes great boasts. It's also a very prideful tool in our bodies. He says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Now he uses a negative example, doesn't he? So he uses positive examples of here's a ship, here's a horse, can be guided, controlled for good purposes. But now he's using a negative example of destruction. With this little spark, you know, remember Smokey Bear, right? You've heard the commercials on the radio. Only you can prevent forest fires. What starts a forest fire faster than anything else? Usually it's something small, isn't it? A little small spark, maybe a little small ember. Maybe you did put out your campfire, but you didn't put it out all the way. Maybe somebody flips a little cigarette out the window. It's amazing how something so small can start something so huge. And you've seen the forest fires on television. Acres and acres, hundreds of thousands of acres destroyed. People's homes destroyed. People's lives destroyed. Killing people, injuring firemen. Why? Because of one spark. And James uses that as an analogy for our tongues, for our words, and says, you can say one word, you can say one phrase, and you can set a whole relationship on fire. You can destroy a relationship. You can destroy someone's career with words. You can destroy a life with words. You can ruin a church with words. False teaching in the classroom or from the pulpit, but even just in cutting other people down and slandering and gossiping about other people in the church, you can ruin a church with words. You can do a lot of damage with words. And so our words are powerful and they can be terribly destructive. And so he says, look at what a great forest can be set on fire by a small spark. So also the tongue is a fire. It's a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. James just wants us to make sure that we know what we're dealing with here. This is powerful. There are evil forces at work here. And he says all kinds of animals have been able to have been tamed. Animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures would have been able to tame them. But the tongue, it's unique. It's unique in its power and its will to be uncontrolled. No human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And so the tongue is a small but powerful force, and often, unfortunately, it is used for evil. It is used for destruction. And so I just want us to think about for a moment the words that we say that can destroy. And sometimes we don't even know that we're doing it. Words can destroy in a moment, like a tornado or a hurricane, but words can also destroy over time, like a drip, 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 or the gentle flow of a water eroding. Water is a destructive force, right? Water can destroy quickly in a tidal wave, or water can destroy slowly over time with a small repetitive drip. Think about your words that way too. Your words, you can drop a bomb on somebody and destroy in a moment, but you can also destroy over a lifetime just by dripping, chipping away. Little comment here, little cut down here, little snide remark here, just a little lie here. And over time, your words can destroy someone's life, can destroy a relationship. And like most of life, the place where we need this the most is in the places where we spend most of our time. So where do we spend most of our time? For most of us, we spend most of our time at home or at work, right? That's where we spend most of our time. And so let's think about our families. Think about the words that you say to your spouse. There are times when we get upset, right? I mean, there's times when our spouse does something that we don't like and it irritates us. So what are we going to do at that moment? Well, James has already told us the answer. Remember back in chapter 1, he says, everyone should be slow to become angry and slow to speak, but quick to listen. And so all of us, we've all faced that situation. Okay, here's a moment. I'm upset. I'm irritated about something. So how am I going to respond? James says, slow down. Slow down. Listen. Think. Talk later. Don't be quick to throw that word or that comment in there because it's destructive. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but grievous words, harsh words, stir up anger. So your words can either throw water or gasoline on the situation. How are you going to respond? So in our families, with our spouse, with our children, siblings, the way that we talk to each other, we need to watch our words carefully. In our workplaces, with the people that work for us, or our bosses or our coworkers, the people that we spend time with in our workplace, how do we talk to them? How do we talk about them when they're not around? Our words are powerful and can be very destructive. Here's the last thing that James teaches us in the last part of the passage. He says, our words are human words, human speech. It's unique in its ability to reveal our own hypocrisy. Our words have a unique way of revealing our own inconsistency and hypocrisy. And so he says in verse number 9, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. He says, this shouldn't be. It shouldn't happen. And then he draws some analogies from nature. And he says, can the same spring produce fresh water and salt water? No, it doesn't happen that way. There's consistency in nature. Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? No, there's consistency in nature. A pure water spring produces pure water. A fig tree produces figs. An apple tree produces apples. And what he's saying is, a person whose heart is following the Lord should produce words that are healing and helpful. Blessing, not cursing. And so sometimes our words, oftentimes, in fact, our words can reveal the hypocrisy of our hearts. That we claim one thing, but our words show something different. And so how many of us are guilty of verse number 9? No raised hands here. But how many of us are guilty of verse number 9? With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father. We all just did it today. We all sang praises to God. We're all praying together. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. And then we go out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday, or Saturday, and we curse human beings who've been made in the likeness of God. How many of us are guilty of that? Maybe even the same day, Sunday, we praise God in church and we get out in the car and we curse people. Maybe somebody cuts us off on the way home from church, and we curse somebody with our words. We are often inconsistent, hypocritical, and we of all beings in nature have this capability to pretend to be one thing but to say something different. And so James is calling us to be consistent. And so I want to talk about one thing before we close our time together, and that is verse number 8, when he says, no human being can tame the tongue. Well, isn't this all just hopeless then? If the tongue is this small, powerful force that nobody can get a harness on, nobody can contain, then what's the point of this whole message? If we can't contain it, control it, then how do we do any of this that James is teaching us to do? Well, I think James is talking about here about how powerful the tongue is and how I believe in its natural condition, the tongue is uncontrollable. Because if you think about it, the tongue isn't really doing it, is it? The tongue is just carrying out the wishes of something deeper inside of us, isn't it? The tongue is just an instrument. The tongue is a tool. We use all kinds of things to speak. We use our lungs, our diaphragm. We use our mouth, our lips, our tongue, our vocal cords. We use all kinds of things to speak. Where does it all come from? It comes from our minds. It comes from our hearts, from where we think and feel and make decisions. And so we learn in the scriptures that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, left to itself, the tongue is uncontrollable because it proceeds from a deceived, sinful heart. But the tongue can be controlled if the heart is transformed. If the heart, the internal way of thinking, is transformed by the grace of Christ through faith. And I think this is here where James would say, yes, the tongue can be tamed through a heart of faith, through a heart of faith that lives itself out in deeds, through a heart of faith that works and does things. Because he already told us that a person who has genuine religion can control his tongue, because in James 1:26, he says this, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves and their religion is worthless. So a person who can't control their tongue has a worthless religion, but the implication is a person who can control their tongue has a genuine religion. And he's already told us in this passage that anyone who is never at fault in what they say, that person is a perfect person, able to keep their whole body in check. In other words, a mature, complete Christian believer. So here's how I'd understand verse 8. The tongue left to itself is uncontrollable, but when the heart is transformed by grace through faith, then the tongue then becomes controllable. And so, are you a believer in Christ? Has your heart been changed by the grace of God? If so, then out of that heart should flow fresh water, not a mixture of fresh and salty. Out of that heart should flow out blessing, not a mixture of blessing and cursing. James is teaching us that all believers must watch our words carefully, because our words are incredibly powerful and can be used for good or for bad. And teachers need to pay particular attention to that. But this lesson is for all of us. All of us as believers need to pay close attention to our words, because they have incredible power to be used for good or for bad. And so, where's the condition of your heart? In many ways, it can be revealed by the words that come out of your mouth. And so if you have a problem with speech, uncontrolled speech, maybe it's an indication of an uncontrolled heart. And my prayer is that you would find grace in the Lord Jesus Christ to transform your heart from the inside out, and that your words then would be words of grace flowing out of a heart of grace. Let's watch our words, because they're incredibly powerful. Let's pray together. Father of grace, we thank you, Lord, for the word of grace that you have spoken to us. We thank you for the healing, life-giving words of the scriptures, that in the word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, people become alive in Christ. Your word has the power to give life. Lord, I pray that your word, your gospel truth would go forth today and give life to those who may still have dead hearts. Lord, awaken us. Awaken our spirits. Awaken our souls. Transform our hearts. And Lord, may the words that we say be acceptable in your sight. Our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.